Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Community Matters here on Your Encouraging WPER. This is Megan from The Morning Show. One of the things that we've touched on before is freedom from addiction, and we are going to be touching on that again today, talking about a local organization called Zoe Freedom Center, and we're talking today with the founder, Dana. I would love to just get a little bit of a background about who you are and what Zoe Freedom Center does.
Okay, so my name is Dana Brown. I have 17 years free from opioid and cocaine addiction. I have lived in New York City for a while where I was homeless. About 7 years, I guess I was on the streets. My family invited me home to come down for Christmas. And at that time, I accepted Christ as my Savior and was delivered overnight from my addictions. So at that time, God planted a seed within me to reach others who were suffering in the way that I suffered. I started working for a church, and God was just watering the seed through the obedience of many other people. A pastor who gave me an opportunity, a second chance. He gave me a job, and he instilled a lot of value in me. So what I do currently is based off of a lot of what he did and how God worked in my life through the years.
So Zoe Freedom Center then, yeah. Why not New York? What made it happen right here in our community?
Zoe Freedom Center in Fredericksburg came about because my husband was offered a job here. We were living in Greenville, North Carolina. He was offered a job actually in Quantico, and we accepted it and we moved up here. This was before God had given us the vision for Zoe Freedom Center. However, he did give us the vision to become parents through the foster care system. And so our children were here in Fredericksburg or Stafford, Virginia. So we adopted 3 children. And for about 5 or 6 years, the majority of my time was spent helping them transition from abusive situations to our home and then to school. So then God gave us the vision. Both Mark and I got the vision for Zoe Freedom Center. And he has shown us that it is to be here in Fredericksburg, and he's also shown us a vision for several other states.
That's cool. So you've got some expansion on the horizon then.
Yeah, it's I'm glad that he gives us small pieces at a time, because I might just like go hide under my bed. but he's gentle with his vision for us, and he's very clear with what we're supposed to do. And I'm really grateful for that.
So when someone asks what Zoe Freedom Center specifically does, who are you targeting? Who are you out to help? How do you respond?
Anybody that has an addiction of any kind, parents of addicts, family members of addicts, the community as a whole, we want to educate and advocate, and we want to assist people in finding freedom from addiction. And that's our mission, freedom from addiction. You would think that it just pertains to someone who is in active addiction, but freedom from addiction pertains to families and friends and community. We all can need to be free from this issue, not that we're actually experiencing it ourselves, but that we can help others. And so freedom from addiction is pretty big, and it's obtainable. I am free from addiction. I don't have an issue with ever wanting to use. It's a non-issue in my life, and I know that Christ died to set us free. And so that's what the mission is freedom from addiction.
So what sort of things do you do with those who are in active addiction, or those who are, in relationship with, living with, parenting too? How do you help them?
So for people who are in active addiction, I like to, we're just opening our first launch program called Bridging the Gap. And that was birthed out of going to the prison system and meeting with women who are suffering in addiction and know that they're leaving back to the same cycle. And that's what I did multiple times. So I want to come alongside them and help them with resources in the community that will help them be successful in freedom from addiction. Part of that will be peer-to-peer counseling with me. It may go deeper with seeing a psychiatrist. Depending, a lot of things lead to addiction. So basically, I want to connect them with local resources that will help them be successful. As far as families, love looks different when you're loving someone who's in active addiction. So a mom wants to nurture and help and make sure her children are fed. That's just innate. That's what we're born with. That's what we're made to do. That's a role that we have. But when we're talking about our children that are in active addiction, sometimes it looks a little different. So we love them, pray for them, have them come for Christmas, all of those things, but we can't enable them, which basically just means to provide a way for them to get their drugs. So if they're living in my home, the money that they would need for rent would be going to drugs. And that's not the case with everyone. That's just part of the individual success plans that we'll do with families is determining. So what are we doing here? Are we enabling? Are we helping them to find resources that they can take care of them on their own? Are we allowing them to adult on their own and find some accountability in their own walk? So helping parents and families determine how to help and not hurt their loved one.
How long has OE Freedom Center been in this area?
So we were approved as a 501c3 nonprofit last year, April of 2019. We hit the ground running in June and started fundraising. We anticipated opening our Bridging the Gap Education and Resource Center in June of this year. However, we are opening halfway through March. So God has us on a fast track. He has called his people and they are rising up and coming alongside and helping us get this thing started, not only financially, but prayerfully, which is super important. People who are ready to lead programs, ready to do whatever. Do you need me to paint? What do you need us to do is basically the question that I get. And it's encouraging because everybody that I talk to usually knows someone that's in addiction or has come out of addiction or is themselves free from addiction. So I would say probably 1 in 3 people know someone very close to them that's suffering an addiction. So it touches everybody. So they've been very helpful in getting us going, and we will do a ribbon cutting on March the 15th. I have been meeting people at every Starbucks that we have, Panera Bread. There's a lot of places that that I meet parents and their children or children about their parents, and we have a conversation. I think the first step is really just understanding that it's okay to have the conversation, that you can have it with someone that you trust and understands, and try to take that shame covering away. The enemy will, he doesn't care if we're free. He doesn't care if I'm free, as long as I don't tell anybody else. And so we can't let that be the case.
You had mentioned a statistic, 1 in 3 are touched by this.
Mm-hmm. I would approximate that's probably about right.
Do you think that the overall community at large is aware of how prevalent this is?
I think so. Maybe not quite as drastic as it is. I think people understand that there's a problem, and it's a big problem, but I don't think that they understand that it's a massive problem. And that it really is going to take a community as a whole. We have to come together with this. This is a God-sized issue. And to attack this issue, we have to do it with God. So, and God's army, I mean, we're the body. And so we need all the parts. We need everybody's gifting in this arena and in every area where we're coming against an issue this size. We need the whole body to come together and bring their gifts and give those gifts to this area and use them in this area.
I think there's a lot of people who may not, if they're not personally touched by addiction, whether it's in their family or whether it's even within themselves, they may not feel like they have something to give to help. So what would you encourage them that they do have that they can bring to the table?
I think that every single person that's breathing has a purpose in whatever area they're called to. However, for this specific area, prayer. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have. My sister and my parents prayed for me for a long, long time. And I remember them saying that they were praying against hope, that they just really didn't believe that that I was able to come out of the pit that I was in. But through prayer and their persistence in prayer, I am here today. So my family was focused on one individual person suffering with addiction. And because of that, there are possibly hundreds of people that are now going to find Jesus and freedom because of their persistence. So I think they had a direct contact or connection with me for the area of addiction. But people who don't, just pray, you know, pray and ask God to move the hearts. Ask him to tell you what can you do. If this is an area that you feel led to do something in, ask him. He's very clear about what he wants his children to do. We just have to do it. And I'll be really honest with you. I've never had more joy. And I'm operating in an area that's really devastating. But I've never had more joy than I have now walking in my God-ordained purpose. So when we ask him what he wants us to do and we do it, I promise that you'll find joy in that.
That's beautiful. I love it. And I love seeing, I mean, your eyes are even tearing up a little bit. It shows you're very passionate about this and I love it. Speak to the mom or the dad right now who is maybe in the place where your parents were, persistently praying against all hope or any logical reason that they have to say, this change is going to come. How would you encourage them to just keep at it?
I would encourage you to remember your child before and try to come from that place. I think that we can fill ourselves with anxiety trying to save our children. Now we know who can save them. We know that only God can truly save our kids. So ask him, pray, don't give up hope, but make sure that you're not standing in between God and your child. Allow God access to your child. Sometimes that means that you have to step way out of the way in order for your child to find that desperate place. God responds in great ways when we're in desperate places. And to be able to get there, I think, is important for a lot of people. It was very important for me to hit that desperate place. Where my best decision making got me to where I was at. And so pray for them, tell them about Jesus and kind of let God work. Even if it seems like it's the worst thing in the world, like jail, for instance. So I was in jail several times. Those times I refer to as my moments of clarity. Because I was not high, I could actually take a look and self-examinate and see what was going on in my life. Did I want to continue on this path or not? And the answer was usually no. But the last time I was in jail was the last time I was in jail. But those times did give me opportunity to figure out kind of where I had gone, what the depth that I was at. So I would say allow the natural consequences to happen. Prepare yourself. We can talk a little about that later, about how we can prepare families to do everything in their power to do, which Narcan training and CPR training at this point in the game with heroin and fentanyl. I think it's, I think that a lot of parents would have a bit of reassurance to know that if something did happen, they would know how to respond. If it happened around them.
That they would not know necessarily how to do it, and you want them to be prepared for it?
I want them to be prepared. I don't ever want a family member to lose someone and say, did I do everything I could possibly do?
Gotcha.
And I think that Narcan training and CPR training would let you be able to say, yes, I did.
In regards to Zoe Freedom Center right now, somebody listening right now is like, oh, I don't even need encouragement. I know that I can help and have gifts, but how do I get involved with Zoe Freedom Center?
So you can go to our website, zoefreedomcenter.org. It's zoefreedomcenter.org. And there is a volunteer page that you can go to. And there's 6 different areas that you can take a look at and see if any of those fit, and one of them is general help. And so I think that if you don't fit in any of the other ones, everybody fits into that one. And we would just, we would love to help people, train people how to respond to someone that they see that may be on drugs, a friend or even someone on the street. I think that that there needs to be training and understanding that addicts or people who are in active addiction, they're people, and the majority of them became addicted due to traumas and hurts in their lives, and they isolate. And I think that sometimes if we can just be an ear to listen and someone that they know they can reach out to. I didn't want to reach out to my family because I was so ashamed, and I didn't want them to see the person I had become. But I believe that if someone that I didn't know would have come alongside me, I would have opened up to them. But the sad fact is that nobody did. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
There was a police officer who my parents asked to help find me because they didn't know where I was. And he came alongside, and at the time he was my nemesis, but now he's a great friend. He was one form of help. Putting me in jail was help. Mandating me to a program was help. Not picking me up early from the program because I sound and look great was help. Let them finish the program. One of the things that addiction does for a person who's walking in addiction is it makes us want to bend every single thing to suit our plan, including your plan for recovery or whoever's plan for treatment. We want to make it fit us. No, we don't need 90 days. I only needed 2 weeks. Look at me. I look great. Okay, well, you do look great, but I'll see you in 90 days. It's hard for families to do that. I probably just went way off on a tangent.
No, that's good. I like it, though. You talk about preparing families, you know, from, like you had mentioned specifically from a medical standpoint, how to respond. But yeah, you're also talking from the response and feedback, preparing them for what they might see and how to handle those conversations.
Yes, exactly. I've written a book. It's called Desperate for a Fix. And it really is a walk through the mind of someone who's in active addiction. It's my story, as if you're walking alongside. And I think it's been really eye-opening for a lot of people to understand what their loved one may be thinking. And the reasons why we walk into this tornado. I refer to addiction as a tornado. So the person who is addicted is the tornado spinning out of control, and everything in its path gets sucked up into it, into the chaos. And that is what a family who has not been trained how to deal with their child that's in addiction, that's what they're experiencing, this chaos type tornado. Everybody gets sucked into it, and you're cycling around the center, which is the person who's addicted.
So how are you preparing families to handle that?
Kind of like what I said before, helping them to understand that they cannot save their child. A lot of times I like to explain it this way. God, the seat on the throne of your heart belongs to Jesus. And if our child is sitting there, then we are worshiping the wrong thing. So, and it's hard for families to understand, I'm worshiping my child. Well, whatever gets your heart's affection and your mind's attention is where your worship is going. So we have to put God back there and trust him with everything. And that includes our kids. And so that's one way. Now, if there's a family that's not doing that, which there are a lot of families that are trusting God wholeheartedly, I just continue to encourage them. I try to help them to see that there is hope. A lot of times they'll get to a place of heightened anxiety, and just to be a safe place to come and get some encouragement and hope. That's another area that I want to help families. It's a hopeless place. It feels like a hopeless place, but when you can talk to someone who's been free for 17 years and you can read what I went through in my story, then there's still that hope there. I also talk with families who have lost their children or their parents. And that's, it's very difficult for me. I know it's very difficult for them, but for me, I feel guilt why did I get to stay? Why did I get to live? Why didn't they get to live? And it's a hard thing. God is sovereign. I understand that. And I know that ultimately, you know, he does what's best for us. And I understand the mercy of God's love. And he can see way out ahead of our lives, where we can just really see what's right in front of us. Sometimes we don't even get to see that. But I trust him with everything, but I still do have that tinge of, you know, sitting here talking with a family that lost their child and my family didn't. And I think that might be the enemy a little bit too.
Do you think there's other survivors that kind of feel that same guilt? That's one of their challenges.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I've talked to some that do. I think it goes across the board pretty much with most of us that have lived to such an extent that we shouldn't have lived. We should have been gone a while ago. Yeah, I think it's probably a lot of us.
A common
thing. Yeah.
So you had talked about wanting to get into later about preparing families from the medical standpoint. So is that something that you do then at Zoe Freedom Center, is how to actually walk through the training with parents and with those who are living with or connected to those with addiction?
Yes. So when we open the doors for Bridging the Gap, that'll be one of the programs that we have. We'll have Narcan training and CPR training.
And can I ask also what Narcan training is, just because I'm not familiar with what that term is?
Oh, I'm sorry. I talk about it so much that I forget.
Yeah, no.
So Narcan is like a reverse drug. So if someone overdoses from a heroin or fentanyl overdose, Narcan is either a shot or a nasal mist that can bring them back. One thing that we will definitely teach people and that I want to be said here is when the person comes back, it is very likely that they will go back into the overdose state. And so give them the Narcan, call 911. They will also have Narcan. It can take multiple shots or multiple doses depending on how much they used, how much fentanyl or heroin was in what they used. So it could take 3 or 4 or 5 doses of Narcan. But Narcan is like the reverse overdose is what I would call it.
Okay. And as far as like formal medical training, are there licenses or certifications that people need to receive or to be able to administer things like that?
Yes. So when you come to the class, and you'll receive a certificate that you've been trained in Narcan administration. You'll also receive your CPR certification. So both of those things you will have. You'll also receive your Narcan. So hopefully we'll be able to get that pretty easily from the pharmacy, and it will be free. So also we partner with the community collaborative at here in Fredericksburg. That's where I was trained, over at Rappahannock United Way. So there are several places you can go and be trained, and if you want to get trained before we open, please just search Narcan training. It's called Revive. Opioid Overdose Reversal for Fredericksburg. So that's the name of the training, Revive, R-E-V-I-V-E, with an exclamation point. And it's just these little nasal sprays that are pretty easy to administer. And I keep mine on me at all times. I keep some in my car as well, so that if I come across anyone, that I can help them.
Do you find, do you run into that often? And is it just through your work with Zoe Freedom Center, or is it just also just being out in the community?
So I have not actually run into anyone who has overdosed from an opioid that I needed to revive. I have gone to the hospital and spoken with people after the fact. I know that I will, because this epidemic is so large. And as we expand, I'm sure that I will be exposed to much more here in Fredericksburg than I was in Virginia back in the day, and using at that time is such a bigger issue now. So I have not had to use it. However, I pray that if there's a time that I come across someone that I will be able to respond in a way that will help them quickly. realize what I'm looking at and respond quickly. Also with Narcan, it's not going to hurt anybody if you think somebody's overdosed, but you're not sure, they're not responding, and they can't tell you what they've done. It won't hurt them, but you'll know quickly if it was an opioid overdose. They'll wake right up.
Okay, cool. How can we pray for Zoe Freedom Center?
So Zoe Freedom Center's first program, Bridging the Gap, is open. Our next phase is a 12 to 24 month drug rehabilitation center here in Fredericksburg. So to pray for God's guidance, for him to be clear. I don't mind writing on the wall if he needs to write on the wall. He's gotten my yes 100%. And so prayers for us to be able to move quickly and stay behind God, and prayers for provision. For the help that we're going to need, for God to just align us with the paths of those that have been called in this area to and have been assigned to this mission, for those people to be readily available and make themselves known. So those are the specific prayer requests. Our family, the enemy, is not happy with what we're doing. So for our family and the families of our board members and our volunteers. Just to keep a covering over them.
And then the ribbon cutting, March 15th. Talk to me about that.
Yes. So we are not really renovating. We're just painting and putting in new floors and decorating the office space at 928 Bragg Road here in Fredericksburg. And the ribbon cutting will be on March the 15th at 1:30. It's a Sunday. It'll be following church. We'll provide lunch, and we would love for people to come out and celebrate with us the opening of our resource and education center.
That's exciting.
Look at your eyes. You're like, yes.
I am so excited.
Well, and 3 months ahead of schedule. That's quite a miracle too.
Yes, 3 months ahead of schedule. And I'll be able to meet with so many more people since I'm not bouncing from Starbucks to Starbucks anymore. I'll still be going into the jails, but now I'll be able to follow up with the people who are there. I would get maybe 1 or 2 hours with a group of women, which I'm grateful for. And we made big strides there. But once that group is over, my 2 weeks are over, I leave and have no way to contact them. I'm not allowed to have visits with them one-on-one and keep my volunteer status at the jail. But I will be able to give the staff there our cards. And so when people get out, they can come to me and we can continue what we started.
That's awesome.
In the jail.
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Well, we are excited, and we are definitely praying. We're excited to do whatever we can to help further the work that you're doing. So talk to me a little bit about the Unstoppable God Spring Tour that you guys are a part of.
So God revealed to me that there were going to be fundraisers that had worship, that the worship leaders were going to lead the battle. And this opportunity to have a concert with Sanctus Real and Jamie Kimmett, a band called Verses, and Justin Warren just kind of fell in my lap. You know, God's really good about that. So we got a phone call that they were available to on their Unstoppable God tour to stop through Fredericksburg and do a fundraiser for us. So on March the 5th at 6:30, we will have a concert benefiting Zoe Freedom Center. It's at Salem Fields Community Church. We have VIP tickets, and we also have general admission, but get your tickets soon so you don't miss it. It's going to be really great. It's being sponsored by AirPlus Heating, Cooling, Electric, and Plumbing. And they've been really great. They took our sponsorships and just took that whole weight off of me. And so now we're just excited for a concert. We're ready to go and worship God. We would love for people to come.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. And yes, all proceeds from that concert do go to support Zoe Freedom Center. So please do check it out. You can find out more information at WPER.org. Dana, thank you again for your time. And thank you for listening to Community Matters.